My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs, that is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Resident Evil Requiem, which is a survival horror game developed and published by Capcom for contemporary systems in 2026, just about 2 months ago.
Yeah, recently published. Breaking news. Yeah, and this is a premium episode, which means that everybody gets the generalities. If you want to get the back half of it, and I think our Resident Evil episodes are generally pretty good, people tell us that. Mm-hmm. It's not just me patting my own back. Become a patron if you are not already and you'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I think they're good. They're really, the games are fun to play, and I think both of us have a lot to say about them.
Yeah, they're interesting.
It's, you know, and this is kind of like a culmination thing. Like, this is the 30-year anniversary game. It's, you know, put together to kind of be a serious celebration slash, I don't know what they're doing with concluding things.
Not enough. Yeah. Like, I feel like this would be a good time for a conclusion. Mm-hmm. I love Resident Evil.
Yeah.
You know, I will play these as long as they keep making them. I like the bad ones even, for the most part. You know, we talked about 6, and like, 6 is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could have some fun with it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's interesting things about it. You know, I do wish this was a little bit more definitive. As like a send-off victory lap love letter thing, this worked on me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to talk about. Like, it's an interesting game. This sounds more damning than I want to. It is a game that got worse the more I thought about it, but it started really high. So like it went, you know, it was coming off of it, like just being like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, thought about it and I was like, yeah, yeah, you know, but still, yeah, like a definitive yeah.
Yeah.
Not a no.
I'm still saying yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, there are some decisions I think that they make that get in their own way.
Yeah.
A little bit. So this is the story of two people. We have two protagonists here. The first is Grace Ashcroft, the daughter of Alyssa Ashcroft from everybody's favorite entry. Resident Evil Outbreak.
Yep. Insane move.
Also, Gary, for me, the fact that they like acknowledged Outbreak's existence with this, kind of making it more a part of the canon, that was a huge confidence inspirer for me. When I heard like Ashcroft, like, well, that sounds familiar. That's not Ashford. Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. No, they're digging deep.
I kept thinking it was Ashford when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty bold because that's a canon entry that is completely ignored, basically, you know, but no, it's from the Outbreak games that are pretty hard to play now. You can, you know, but difficult to play. It's a weird connection because nothing in her story in Outbreak really suggests that she would have this much connection directly to major players.
She's a journalist who survived the Raccoon City incident.
Yeah. You know, but she's also, has close personal access to Spencer and stuff. Like, all this stuff is kind of weird to me. It's just like they knew one journalist and they reached for the journalist they knew.
Yeah. But Grace is a young FBI agent. She is a long legs who gets kidnapped by a strange mutated man who says that he needs her to fulfill his destiny as the successor to Oswald Spencer, one of the founders of Umbrella, eugenicist madman.
Yes. And the other protagonist here is Leon Kennedy, my favorite idiot. He's suffering from something called Raccoon City Syndrome, which is a latent T virus infection. It's in its terminal stages. The only thing we know is it causes a lot of pain and like creepy bruising.
Yeah.
There. And he's trying to cure himself. He's also trying to find a cure for the other Raccoon City survivors.
Yes. of whom we only see Sherry, and that's cool. I do feel the absence of other major players if this is meant to be a celebration, right?
Well, really weird that they show other people who are suffering from it, and it's just a bunch of jabronis.
Yeah.
You know, it's jobbers. It's not, you know, we're not fighting for our friends Barry and Jill.
Yeah.
Which would have been a way to do this. We're fighting for six strangers who have already died. Everyone else is not really mentioned. You know, it seems like simultaneously bloodless and kind of low motivated.
Yeah.
Like, not that Leon wouldn't do it to save people and himself. Of course he would. You know, he's a good guy. But it's a little bit strange. They would have been able to really pull some pathos with like Barry on his deathbed.
Yeah.
If they wanted to.
We're going to keep spoilers light in the generalities here, if we can. The generalities are also going to be very slight comparatively. It's a spicy episode, but this is a hodgepodge. It's like a collage of Resident Evil stuff, especially like what the series has been lately. So like, basically we're switching between two modes, Ethan Winters and Resident Evil 4 remake.
Yeah. You know, or Resident Evil 2 remake, you know, or something like that. Like, we are, the way that 6 was kind of a wrap up for that trilogy of the 4, 5, and 6, this is a wrap up for the 7, 8, 9, which they refused to call 7, 8, 9, other than 7. It's infuriating. I will call this Resident Evil 9 a whole lot.
Yeah.
They do it. They fucking do it.
Yep.
I'm sick of your games, Capcom. It sucks. If they put out a Resident Evil 8 now, go to hell. seriously,
Gary, it'd be the funniest thing they could possibly do.
It'd be very funny, but it just would make it very confusing to talk about, and it would be like a weird fuck you. It'd be funny in a troll way.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be, wouldn't make it easier for me as a fan. It would make things hard. I'd have a bad day. When you're playing as Grace, it's first person by default, even though you can switch it. And this is more survival horror like Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
You play a little bit like Ethan Winters, equally incompetent. You have limited inventory. You have very limited resources. You don't have very many weapons. There's a little bit of stealth with her. Not a whole lot, but a little bit.
Yeah. You can avoid zombies if you want to without them noticing you. You're not doing the weird like little J-hook dodge that you do in the original RE series.
No. Yeah. It's also not like, for the most part, with a couple of exceptions, here's a room full of hiding places.
Yeah.
You know, it does do that card a couple times, but for the most part, it's first-person Resident Eviling with limited resources.
Yeah. And it's fun to do that with zombies. I'm not going to lie. And also, it's neat to be in a Spencer Mansion hospital.
Yeah. They've finally, at first I called that this is a long-term care ward, a chronic ward. I thought it was a mental health ward. For reasons that will make sense. And I was like, how have they not played that card yet?
Yeah.
You know, they haven't done a Shellbridge kind of thing. You're not quite Shellbridge, but you know. No, it's a long-term health chronic care facility that has a lot of Spencer Mansion DNA.
Yeah.
You're dealing with T-virus zombies, which are my second favorite enemy other than Las Plagas. They've retained some of their memories and behaviors. Yeah. This is a huge, cool twist that is, it's hard to say it's underused because it's from the biggest part of the game.
Yeah.
The single biggest segment of the game is this.
Yeah.
And it's a major part of it.
It's a really cool way to handle special undead.
Yes, because it doesn't always work to their advantage. In fact, most of the time it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's not just a zombie that has a power.
Yeah.
It's a zombie that has a behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's really clever. Informs your strategy, really works best in a zone where stealth can be useful. You can do things like pit zombies against each other.
Yeah, love it.
Love it. Like really, really cool. Not something you can usually do.
Yeah.
And they brought back Crimson Heads, basically.
Yeah.
Again, every entry in the series gets something. This is from the RE1 remake. If a zombie isn't killed by destroying its head or exploded, though it's called a hemolytic poison injector.
I love that the stealth kill in this, like what effectively is the stealth kill, causes a blood explosion.
Yeah, it literally, you know, huge, you know. They'll rise this thing called a blister head, which are really tough. Mm-hmm. Much tougher even than crimson heads. They don't just move faster, they move really erratically. Mm-hmm. These guys are absolute sons of bitches.
Yes.
They're a real problem, especially as Leon. As Grace, everyone's a little gentler.
Mm-hmm.
All the zombies move a little slower and stuff. Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah. They know what they're dealing with.
They're great on the curve. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to be fair. They've given themselves I want to say a handicap because it's like a golf term and stuff. Uh-huh. That is what the word means, but it feels like that word will probably rotate out soon enough.
Yeah, pretty soon. Yeah. I love the blister heads. I basically crimson heads are a perfect idea. Mm-hmm. Here's a little pro tip that I didn't understand. When it gives you the little prompt to use the hemolytic injectors, there will be a number by it. That is not how many hemolytic injectors are required to kill this enemy. It's how many you are currently killing. When I first played this, I thought that the longer a body laid there, the higher the cost went. So like you could use one now, or you could use like three later, just to stop it. So it was like really incentivizing, like picking who you were gonna, what body you were gonna get rid of. That is not the case.
Yeah, and it's not. For my experience, you know, we may have played this pretty differently. Like it wasn't a huge opportunity cost. That is a cool idea.
Yeah,
hemolytic injectors were not so common that it felt like at any given time I would be able to really use three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also didn't make that many. There's a crafting system in this. I did not rely that often on hemolytic injectors.
Yeah.
As Grace. Mm-hmm. This is a reuse enemy. Several things from the series that were cut are brought back for this. Mm-hmm. There was going to be an intermediary zombie between a zombie and a licker.
Yeah.
And they decided to make it this guy.
Yeah. Also getting into one of my favorite things in the series, which is lickers used to be people.
Yeah. I like the lickers used to be people. You notice that when we run to lickers in this game, how separate object their asses are.
Uh-huh.
How they have two distinct butt cheeks that are kind of far away from each other, and you spend a lot of time creeping around behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like caked up liquor is not something I had on my bingo card. And I know that I'm wrong on this. It's, there's so much exposed muscle and stuff. It seems like it'd be hard to be made hot, but it is shaped like a butt.
Yep.
Like somebody wants to stick something in that. Mm-hmm. Into that liquor. I was just very surprised. It made me and Liv both very uncomfortable, like having so much of a liquor ass cam with them, like essentially spreading out their assholes as a fucking two car garage invite. Like, it's messed up. No.
It is a bunch of little solid snakes crawling around.
Yeah, it's rough.
Oh my gosh. There's also some pursuit play in here. There is some nemesis going on for the care facility part of this. Grace is carried around by, chased around by a large monster called the Girl, introduced in a children's book. I don't know who printed that thing.
The same people who printed the creepy children's book from Village, probably.
Yeah. Introduces also the Shadow Ghost. She's like a light sensitive Saturn devouring her children monster.
She's great. Yeah. Like, this is a great design. Generally really good gameplay. Just wants to take a bite out of you. Here she can get up into the crawl space to crawl around and teleport around.
Yeah.
It is a thing where, like, in a general sense in Resident Evil 9, I love that they're bringing back these things. Mm-hmm. The things that it brings back, it doesn't concentrate on. Yeah. Like, this is not as good as Mr. X.
No, not at all.
You know, because it doesn't exist all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is not stalking you.
Yeah.
It shows up for certain points and then can teleport around in the ceiling.
Yeah. It's not systemic.
It's not systemic. It's fine, though, because it's part of a melange of other things that works with.
Mm-hmm.
She also loves blood. She has a little blood thing and can find piles of discarded gore or zombies' crotches and jam this injector into them and pull out blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I don't know what this is. In this game, blood plus what is just some screws and shit you find around? Yeah, it makes a thing. Or blood. What's the one that makes acid? It's like blood and a bottle.
Yeah.
It's literally just like blood inside a bottle creates
It's thaumaturgy. Don't think about it too much.
It's very silly as a thing. It's like a nice loop gameplay wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real silly. Mm-hmm. It kind of, she needs all this stuff. Like get this out on Front Street. I think Grace sucks. Internet loves Grace. She's a waif. She's in a bad situation. She's attractive to people on the internet. I don't like Grace at all. Not even a little bit.
I gotta
draw my line in the sand. I don't think she's confident. I don't like the actress. I don't like the performance. She stutters every single line.
Mm-hmm.
And not like a speech impediment stutters. It's her being at maximum fear all of the time.
Yeah.
And it's she has no gears. You know, it has zero gears.
Yeah. Her line delivery is like listening to somebody who doesn't understand Bob Newhart's thing, try and imitate Bob Newhart
a little bit.
They're going for a long legs thing here. Like I joked earlier, she is wildly unqualified for the job that she has, just in terms of her demeanor. Bad fit for going out into the field, especially alone. I thought that they were trying to play with something. Like it feels like they're trying to imply that, you know, there is something different about her because everybody is saying that, you know, genetically she was made to be something else. Like, so they're trying to keep like her background, you know, a little bit vague. And ultimately that is just a misdirect. She's just really awkward to the point of being archetypical.
Yep. She was bitten by a radioactive crybaby and it gave her those powers. She's an FBI, technological analyst. Mm-hmm. So I'm not expecting her to be like Clarice Starling.
Yeah.
In this stuff. But she's allowed to carry a gun, mm-hmm. which presumes she'd have some training. She doesn't do things like the first cop she meets, she doesn't tell him she's FBI. She doesn't think to give him the ID. Like she lives in a world with bioweapons and stuff, and she's still putting her wrist into blood and just like shocking lack of caution. Yeah. The reason why this matters is like Resident Evil is dumb and it's a horror thing and people do dumb things. This is explicitly meant to contrast with Leon sections, which we're going to talk about next. Leon is the pulp character in this, not Grace. Grace is meant to be more grounded. And I think that in their pursuit of that, this actress, this performance just went way too far with it.
Mm-hmm.
The writing and the performance went way too far with it.
Yeah.
So I end up, you know, I was talking about this to you in real life. We end up with a thing where, like, I really appreciate all of the ideas in the first half of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I hate spending time with Grace. The second half of the game fumbles more. I still like a lot of the ideas in it.
Yeah.
But I like spending time with Leon. Mm-hmm. So, like, I end up having this kind of push-pull with it. And I'm an outlier here. The internet fucking loves Grace.
Yeah.
People have gone nuts for Grace. You can put her in the Lady Dimitrescu dress and it makes her butt huge. Mm-hmm. People want to fuck her, and that is what is, you know, that is driving a lot of this, I think. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I just don't understand the internet anymore. But like, I don't like her. And it's not just me. Liv was like, who the hell is this and why is she here? Like the entire time. Like I was trying to be like a little subtle about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, because if there's a game and there's a guy and a girl, I don't want to just dislike the girl. Mm-hmm. That sucks. You know, and then I kind of felt like the door was open when I was like, this fucking sucks. Who is this person? Why is she doing this? And I was like, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. I'm a little bit warmer on her than you, but I think that making her presentation so archetypical, and really one note, and we're going to get into her motivations, especially like later on, it is very thin. When we get there, or you know, one idea doesn't really connect to another very much.
Like I can think of, you know, sometimes when I say specifically, but when anybody I feel like says, why did a character do this?
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is not what is the thing you can put into the equation to make it work? Because like I can think of a reason why.
Yeah,
it's on me to, when I say it that way. What I mean is I can think of why they would do this. I don't buy it. It's not strong enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, there's a reason here, but it's not good.
Yeah. It is a little bit like, I don't know, watching a monkey try to pick up a calculator and use it. Capcom trying to play with trauma-based story stuff, trauma-based horror stuff.
Right. Out of your league, guys.
Like, that's not the kind of thing you do. Sorry. Yeah. I'm really sorry, but that's not you.
And I hate a video game character that I can run faster than. It shouldn't happen. I'm so fucking out of shape. Like I've lost a lot of weight, but I am weak. I've never been weaker in my life. I cannot run easily. I can run faster than Grace, and she's freaking out. Like, adrenaline should be coursing through her veins.
Yeah.
She should be fucking quicksilvering away from these zombies. And she does kind of like, not even a catching a bus jog. Like, mm-hmm. if you're catching a bus, you are more motivated than this.
Like, I am trying to look like I'm trying to make it seem like I'm not inconveniencing somebody holding an elevator.
Yes.
Or who stopped at an intersection.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Like, you see somebody you know, they're really far away, mm-hmm. and you're not going to run at them, but you don't want them to stand there silently for a little bit. So you do this kind of like little like kind of jog. It's the same jog that the old guy who runs the mechanic shop in Schitt's Creek does whenever he enters the room. It's fucking crazy. I don't know why they chose to do this.
Yeah. The number of times I was yelling at the screen the first time I played this, are you running? Yeah. Are you running?
She's just not. She just isn't. She's not capable. They don't train you to do that in the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
A joke we kept making, me and Liv kept making, is that, Leon can actually do all this capable stuff because he's had FBI training. which is clearly not true. And again, I understand she's a technical analyst. They still give her a gun. They train those people. They still have to do cardio and stuff.
Yeah, even desk pushers, I'm led to believe there's a certain amount of
They give her a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course there is.
Yeah.
The Leon sections are more action focused. We are playing a little bit more like the RE4 remake or the RE2 remake.
Mm-hmm.
Zombies are less of a problem individually, but he faces way more of them.
Yeah.
Blisterheads are much more common. And they introduce chainsaws. Several of the zombies have chainsaws. One of my favorite things this game does. We'll talk about it when we get to it. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
This is my favorite treatment of chainsaws in video games, full stop, from Doom to Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
Chainsaws have never been better or funnier.
Oh, I can't wait to get to that moment.
It's great.
I love how silly a lot of stuff in Leon's campaign is pretty silly, which clangs a little bit with I think some of the reverent tone that they're going for.
It's a thing where it's also worth like just getting my bona fides out in the way or whatever. Like, I'm a Resident Evil largely a vibes guy and play guy for this. I don't get so much into the lore of this. Like, the pathos could work for me from time to time, but like, it's not my strong, it's not my strong interest in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So most of that stuff, it's fucking silly as shit, but it worked for me because I was laughing. Like, if I didn't think it was funny, it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is funny to me, but when they try to cash big checks with it, it is really silly and does not work. And it's a weird contrast with the first half, which is meant again, trauma. Mm-hmm. This was a trauma storyline.
Yeah. It's worth talking about the kind of action and the kind of encounters that we get here, because for as much as they play, similarly and have a similar perspective, like original RE4 and then RE5 and RE6, all kind of have a different, a different feel to them. They're quite different.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is, I brought this up on a dispatch recently. There's a difference here. RE4 is systems based. RE4, you go into a zone, you see some guys, if you want to take the time to snipe them all you can. Mm-hmm. And your reward for that is kind of a victory lap through an empty area where you just get to collect loot. And I fucking live for that. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing to do in a game. Somewhere along the line on that continuum from 4 to 6, and on this game, they decided that would be boring for me. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that. You go into a zone. You maybe can see a zombie and shoot them. But as soon as you go around this corner, other ones will literally teleport in.
Yes.
These are more set piece based encounters, more dead spacey. You're going to be in a zone where enemies are just going to spawn in for a little bit.
Yeah.
You need to constantly be doing action. This idea that if the player isn't constantly under threat, they will get bored and put down the controller and, go outside and play stick and hoop.
It's a big grain hopper that no matter what, no matter how much you want to approach it, is going to dispense your ration of action and excitement for a given period of time within the game.
And some of this I thought was very good.
Yes.
Like, even the action, like, I like the way this does that better than Dead Space 2.
Mm-hmm.
I like those parts, some of them. I just prefer the slower methodical gameplay, and there's only little bits of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Leon methodical, not Grace methodical, which I also like.
Yeah.
But this is, the idea here is smorgasbord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leon, his crafting ability comes back, similar to the RE4 remake. He is not going around collecting magic blood, but instead mashing gunpowder and metal scraps together. Also, combat data. I was rolling that combat data is now systematized.
It's like they listen to the show.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen other people make fun of that. That's not like a common thing. And I'm somebody who's like, you know, to go to sleep, sometimes I'll read TV tropes. Yeah. Other people aren't really talking about combat data the way we do on DuckFeed. It's like somebody listened to the show and is like, hey, oh yeah, that is the motivation for everything that's ever happened. So now you get combat data. You kill enemies, collect their combat data. You find wristbands mm-hmm. that are full of combat data.
Yeah.
And you spend these combat data at a magic box. It's fucking wild. So funny. They're really generous with it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's only an XP system for like a third of the game, really. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, important. Like half the game to a third of the game. Grace doesn't have this. One of the weirdest things is that Grace and Leon have an entirely different set. They have a different crafting system. They have a different save system. Mm-hmm. Leon, you know, you can save at specific points, but early on he has checkpoints. Mm-hmm. Grace does not. She saves at typewriters. Yeah. If Leon sees a typewriter, does not want to touch it. Grace mm-hmm. can put items Leon can use into a box and Leon will not open it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they literally are existing in parallel games.
Yeah. You know? So like I was not asking for like a zapping system or something like that, but like they've done this before. You switch between Chris and Claire. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the closest that you get to that is sometimes there's an item that you don't pick up in the care center that maybe Leon can get it later on. Otherwise, ne'er shall the two sets of systems meet.
It's pretty weird. Zapping system is a specific way they did that. It's a stupid name that nobody, if you don't know what that is, will know what it is. But it's like a way they used to do that. You know, mm-hmm. you do something in one game campaign to impact another. Instead, this is a blended version of RE6.
Yeah.
You know, not just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, but like you'll actually literally bounce back and forth between them.
Yeah.
And it is really kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this crafting material, like Leon has no interest in blood.
Yeah.
Grace will fucking get up to her knees in it.
Yeah. she will go elbow deep in a bucket of that
loves
shit.
It. Yeah. You also can find charms for your guns. Mm-hmm. These are like little ring slots, accessorizers you can move between guns. I wish there were more of these and I wish they weren't limited to gun type.
Yeah.
As much as they are, like finding one that only works on one gun. Like mm-hmm. I only found one that worked for the Magnum. So
yeah.
I was like, I guess that's my Magnum charm. Like there wasn't tons of choice to it
mm-hmm.
As a thing.
Yeah.
And Leon can upgrade his guns and Grace cannot.
Yeah.
You know, she just doesn't have the ability. She doesn't have access to the magic box. So there's more of a getting attached to your weapon versus conserving your ammo kind of approach.
Yeah. Grace only gets two guns. Like she temporarily borrows his Magnum, which is called Requiem, which is very silly.
Yeah. And with one bullet. Because I don't know. You know, so you got a super gun and regular gun, and he has tons of guns.
Yes.
Like a miniature Resident Evil 4 arc of guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aesthetically, this is beautiful. Like honestly, pretty mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
The characters look very realistic and good. The creature designs are fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There are set pieces in this that are like current generation top of the pops.
Yeah,
like just really really cool environments that I think I haven't seen anything that looks as good.
Yeah,
current generation really.
It's the best looking thing. Like I played this on PC and that's a pretty nice PC from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best looking thing that I have played on it.
Yeah. We did it on PS5. Mm-hmm. So Liv could co-pilot and it looks great. Mind blowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The music doesn't, I agree with this. It doesn't stand out really well. The sound design is really good. And then there are a couple of callback musical motif things that give me chills because mm-hmm. That was what it was meant to do.
Those chimes, man.
Yeah, chimes. Yeah, there's. Yeah, it's pretty great. You know, but the actual score is, you know, neither here nor there, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Anything we want to say about like this? The, you know, this the story, like the characterization, dialogue. Like, I feel like we should say right here because he's not really a secret. He's introduced. I fucking love Victor Gideon.
Yeah, Victor Gideon's really good.
Yeah,
He's kind of doing a almost like Heath Ledger Joker. Like,
it's exactly Heath Ledger, Ledger Joker.
Yeah, like doing a gentle voice for a very monstrous appearance. He's really, really good. Mm-hmm. I think all the characterization stuff is generally spot on for what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, Grace aside.
Grace aside, right? Like, you know, Leon is a silly ham who does mm-hmm. Leon silly stunts. Mm-hmm. Works, you know, Victor Gideon's really good. The secondary antagonist, who's a little bit of a spoiler, is a really perfect version of what he is.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, they do a really good job with that stuff. Well done.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that stuff largely in the body of the episode when these characters are introduced mm-hmm. as a thing. So after the success of Resident Evil 7, Capcom spun up a bunch of Resident Evil products in 2019, and one of them was codenamed Apocalypse.
Yes. And this was going to be an open world game with online elements. That has worked so well for the Resident Evil franchise in the past.
Yeah.
They very briefly chased the live service thing and then decided to stop because they thought about their audience for a second.
Yeah. I love that this was such a huge success.
Uh-huh.
Because I hope it is slapping the wrist saying, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just keep doing, this is what actually works. Mm-hmm. They originally wanted Leon to be the only playable character, but since they wanted to be horror focused and they quote unquote did not think players would want to see Leon being timid, they made Grace.
I don't think they understand the audience.
They leaned on timid.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, oh, Leon's not timid. What if we took all the timid in the world and put it into one character?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty silly. And also Leon traumatized dealing with this stuff would have been fun. Even though, again, I love Ham Leon too. So
you can get like, I'm too old for this shit, Leon, right?
Yes.
Like Capcom's, ardent belief that the protagonist needs to be scared for the audience to be scared is fucking wild. Well, given that there's no characterization in like the first, I don't know, 7 years of the series.
But it's funny though. Cause like when I was reading people's takes on Grace, because I went into this as spoiler free as possible. Like I watched the first trailer or whatever. Same. I knew who was in it. And then I was like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not reading reviews. I'm not doing anything.
I only learned that Leon was in it against my will. That's how airtight my blackout was.
Huge blackout. So when I was playing it and I was like, I hate Grace. I didn't know that everyone loved Grace until I went online because I'd have been avoiding all the discourse. One of the reasons why people have attached onto Grace so much is that she's so scared. Like there are mirror neurons that some players have where they see somebody who's having a hard time and that endears them to them. Yeah. I just don't have it. I don't know if it's because I'm inoculated to horror and horror games. Mm-hmm. And if I'm inoculated, you've had 20 times the dose. So you are significantly more inoculated.
Yeah.
For me though, it's also an orthogonal factor. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I can project what it would be like for me to be in a situation and be scared without the character stuttering and sobbing.
Yeah.
For me personally,
it is an alien mindset to me.
If you think about something like The Descent, where part of the horror of that is watching the character have a bad time, it's not just because she's having that performance, it's because she's in a situation that is fucking very scary to me.
Yeah.
In addition. So like identification happens even without the acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's hard to get around to that. Also, like you have Leon, he's older, like he's not decrepit, but he's in his
40s.
50s. Yeah,
40s,
yeah.
50s. Like, God, a game from Japan with old people?
Uh-huh.
But tons of people in this are old.
Yeah.
It fucking rules.
Also, he's very sick. You can disempower him
he's
in a way.
So sick.
He's incredibly sick.
Yeah, he goes into a mode later we'll talk about. Like, he's very sick. Mm-hmm. And he looks like an older man. Like, he looks like he's in his mid to late 40s.
Yeah.
They kept the timeline. That's crazy. Like, from a world where Aron was supposed to be 30, or whatever in Final Fantasy X to this, like, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, this is so good. And it's because of Thirst. Like, women in Capcom were consulted to make him hotter. Mm-hmm. They're like, he's an old man. And they're just like, no, he's a fucking silver fox.
Yeah.
Let's make him as hot as possible while also looking like shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like huge looking like shit representation. Maybe very happy.
Uh-huh. No, it's great. I love his design. I love his characterization. Like, he has lost his fastball a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it's just natural. Like it just, I don't know. Like they're like, time has always been weird in Resident Evil. I'm happy that they didn't try to like fuck with it.
Me too.
They very specifically, there's a word for it in Japanese, a slang term for it that I don't remember their version, but basically it's like hot uncle. Like it is a type, it is a vibe that they really wanted to nail with him.
Yeah. Hunkle. As a thing.
Hunkle?
Hunkle. the bad part of it means that as the Resident Evil characters who are good age out, we just have the characters who are bad.
We just have Rose Winters.
we just have Rose Winters. Like Sherry Birkin, according to the timeline, is 40.
Sherry was born like 1 year before me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so like, as I would love to play a game of Sherry. Sherry's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the youngest of our good characters now.
Yeah.
Originally they were going to have Jill Valentine as a playable character. Mm-hmm. This was likely removed very late in the process, and it's really interesting to think about because the game flows just fine. Mm-hmm. Without her, like, I would have liked to have seen her, but in terms of it making sense. But there are things that clearly seem like, you know, her parts were going to be the parts you intercut.
Yeah.
Other than Leon in the facility. Mm-hmm. Because when Leon first shows up on the motorcycle, that is played like an intro.
Yes.
You know, I would have loved to seen Jill.
I was feeling the lack of Jill. I was feeling the lack of Claire.
Same. Yeah. Even though Claire has a possible kind of stealth cameo-ish thing we'll talk about.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It's not a cameo. It's a little Easter egg thing. But we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
The game's director cited Silence of the Lambs, The X-Files, and Seven as inspirations, you know, in terms of tone and everything, and you can see it. Mm-hmm. And it reviewed really well, low 90s on Metacritic, and is the best performing Resident Evil game at launch.
Yeah.
Double the active players of RE4 make, which is crazy. And again, I'm really glad it's successful.
Yes, very. I hate that in the absence of actual sales data, all that we have is fucking Steam database.
Yeah.
Like, is people watching those numbers. I do not like citing that number.
It sucks. They're working on DLC, two pieces of story-based DLC. And as we found in the last several games, these are real fucking mixed bags.
Yeah. I'm not holding out much hope. They're not going to answer the questions that you want answered. And you're not going to play as or do the things you want.
Yeah, maybe it's a first-person melee game. Maybe, you know, who even knows what it could be? You know, the looking at the they're also doing another game mode thing, and it's very funny. They're being like very cryptic about this, and it's just going to be a mercenaries mode.
Yeah,
it's what you do for every game. Like, even if it plays a little bit differently, you know, if it's slightly like Ethan's birthday party or whatever, Jack's birthday party, it'll play a lot like a mercenaries mode.
Yeah,
of course it will. That's what you do. You know, but they're like, we have a new mode coming.
Yeah, no, it's,
no, we know.
It's literally the post credit stinger, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. We know. We know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Some more news to come on that. Depending on how these go, like with Resident Evil 8, I let you vet those.
Yeah.
And if you think they're good, we'll do them for the show. And if not, fine.
Happy to be of service.
I might play them just for fun. These, because again, Liv's really invested, and I have it on PS5, so we can play it couch co-op.
Yeah.
Couch passive co-op, co-pilot. If you're hearing this, we appreciate you very much. If you'd like to hear the rest of the episode, join our Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
I don't know how the rest of the episode is going to go, because we record this kind of in the middle. I'm going to say it's going to be worth it.
People talk about loading up like the whole set of Resident Evil episodes and then like going on road trips and shit.
Yeah.
People like them. You know, the only thing you can ever say about your own work that is objective is what other people say about it.
Yes.
You know, weirdly enough. And if there's one thing that we do right, I think it's those episodes according to that.
Yes.
Also, you know, enough people are nice about those episodes, we'll eventually do zero to close out the series.
So
I kind of want to talk about it. It's a horrible game. It's a chore to get through. It's really hard. Yeah. It's not fun. But it'd be fun to have just, every mainline Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. Bada boom. You can just listen to them in order.
Yeah. I'm going to be streaming Resident Evil Revelations 2 here pretty soon, because that's like the one kind of main RE game that I haven't played. When we talk about doing zero, we also kind of have to talk about doing those.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Revelations 2 is a trip, according to like what I've read about it.
Mm-hmm.
I also have not gone deep. I never beat Revelations 1 because it locks its co-op behind you completing single player stuff, which is the thing I hate. I was going to play a co-op. But yeah, those are on the list as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of those episodes are premium. You get all of them for one low price. Just join at the duck level on the Patreon.
Yeah, we'd appreciate if you did. Otherwise, please leave us ratings, reviews, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere we get podcasts. Subscribe, talk about us on message boards, talk about us on Reddit. Do all those things. We appreciate it. We don't advertise. Join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
And we'll be back next week with a dispatch.